Sensei, Didiche. Welcome to another edition of Meeting Ground, coming on the weekend of the Indigenous Remembrance Day, November 8th, of course. We hear today from a First Nations veteran who was a member of the Green Beret and the 47 jumps he made all over Europe. But first, a look back on last week's budgets. Some Indigenous leaders say the federal budget lacks the investments in health and education their communities desperately need. The budget did, in fact, freeze annual base funding for Indigenous health and social services and for treaty work. Ottawa says that amounts to a 2% cut at a time when most federal agencies are facing a 15% cut. Well, that hasn't gone over so well. Assembly of First Nations National Chief Cindy Woodhouse-Nipinek says the freeze will have serious impacts on communities with high birth rates. Also, she says, the budget offers no plan to close social gaps.
First Nations are amongst the youngest demographics in this country. So sadly, yesterday's budget did not include any generational investments to close the First Nations education gaps that exist in this country. AFN's budget submission also called for strategic investments to close Canada's long-standing First Nations infrastructure gap.
In the budget, $78 billion for defense. And that's huge. A lot of that is to finally meet NATO requirements. But there's also money in there to shore up Canada's defense of the North. And Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne says that's going to be good for northern communities.
This is going to be a way for us to build the infrastructure in the north that northern communities will welcome. Because Canada, when you look at that, we have a deficit of infrastructure in a number of places, in the north in particular.
Inuit Tapiri Tekadatami head Natan Obed is praising the budget's promises of investments in the Arctic. But he's troubled. He's troubled that Northern Indigenous people aren't reflected in how that will look.
We want to be partners with the Government of Canada and all Canadians in upholding Arctic sovereignty, in defending our borders, in working to do all that we can in this difficult time to make this country prosperous. All we're asking on the other side is for a very clear consideration.
Métis National Council President Victoria Pruden says there is a fear that the cutbacks will hit vulnerable people. But she also says the budget outlines lots of economic opportunities that could benefit Métis people.
We understand what the objective is here, and at the same time, we need to make sure that we're preserving both our economic contribution to Canada and those programs and services that are essential for youth and our most vulnerable people. We cannot lose momentum in terms of our commitment to advocate for Métis governments.
Métis National Council President Victoria Pruden. The leadership of Peter Ballantyne Cree Nation is in court, accusing the provincial government of failing to include them in an environmental assessment decision for a uranium project located within the nation's traditional territory. They've now filed a judicial review in Saskatchewan's Court of King's Bench, challenging the decision. Chief Peter Beattie says the Scott Moe government failed to meaningfully consult or accommodate the nation as required under the Constitution. Chief Beattie says he and his people met with the province, provided information, and asked to be at the table. Says Beattie, instead, our concerns were sidelined. Beattie says consultation is not paperwork, it's a constitutional duty. He argues Saskatchewan's actions fell far short of that duty. The project site lies roughly 35 kilometers northeast of Key Lake in Treaty 10 territory. If it goes ahead, the Peter Ballantyne Cree Nation says it would become the largest uranium operation in the Athabasca Basin. Beattie says they're not totally against the mine, but not being consulted with while it's in their traditional territory, then it becomes a problem. Manitoba Premier Wab Kanoo says his government is moving forward with the search of a Winnipeg landfill for the remains of a victim of a convicted serial killer. This comes after the government completed a preliminary test search at the city-run Brady Road landfill for the remains of Ashley Shingoose. The mother was one of four First Nations women killed by the serial killer in 2022. Kanoo says the province has made progress on its efforts to locate her. The remains of two others of the serial killer's victims, Morgan Harris and Mercedes Myron, were found during a search of another landfill. Shingus actually was still unidentified when the killer went to trial for the other murders. She was then only known as Buffalo Woman. When they did identify Ashley Shingus, Premier Canoe made the announcement. And at that announcement was Ashley's father, Albert Shingus, who spent years traveling from St. Teresa Point to the streets of Winnipeg, 600 kilometers away, to search for his daughter. Albert was on the phone from St. Teresa Point for this announcement. And he asked the Premier to sing a song for his girl, Ashley.
I just want to say thank you for everything. And we just want to Wapakino, I want him to sing one song before I leave to the airport. Please, thank you.
Premier Canoe sang a song from South Dakota that belongs to Quanah. The search for the remains of Ashley Shingus is set to start next month at the Brady Road Landfill in Winnipeg. The University of Saskatchewan is bestowing its highest honor on former Assembly of First Nations Chief Perry Bellegarde. President and Vice Chancellor Peter Stoichev says Bellegarde from the Black Bear First Nation will receive an honorary degree for his lifelong commitment to Indigenous rights. Bellegarde also served terms as a Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations chief, but as national chief, he was able to push Canada towards its first legislation recognizing and protecting Indigenous languages. He also got Canada to commit to implement the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Bellegarde will be honored during convocation this Wednesday. The Governor General's Literary Award for Fiction has gone to an Anishinaabe journalist for his novel about a high school hockey team in Winnipeg. Kyle Edwards' debut novel, Small Ceremonies, is a coming-of-age story about Indigenous brothers finding their way in the world. He's among the seven winners announced this week by the Canada Council for the Arts. They each get $25,000. Coming up, meet Ross Alexson, an Indigenous veteran with the Canadian Airborne Regiment. I'm David Curtin. This is Meeting Ground. Tatsay, Tadishe. Welcome to another edition of Meeting Ground, coming on the weekend of the Indigenous Remembrance Day, November 8th, of course. We hear today from a First Nations veteran who was a member of the Green Beret and the 47 chumps he made all over Europe. But first, a look back on last week's budgets. Some Indigenous leaders say the federal budget lacks the investments in health and education their communities desperately need. The budget did, in fact, freeze annual base funding for Indigenous health and social services and for treaty work. Ottawa says that amounts to a 2% cut at a time when most federal agencies are facing a 15% cut. Well, that hasn't gone over so well. Assembly of First Nations National Chief Cindy Woodhouse-Nepinek says the freeze will have serious impacts on communities with high birth rates. Also, she says, the budget offers no plan to close social gaps.
First Nations are amongst the youngest demographics in this country. So sadly, yesterday's budget did not include any generational investments to close the First Nations education gaps that exist in this country. AFN's budget submission also called for strategic investments to close Canada's long-standing First Nations infrastructure gap.
In the budget, $78 billion for defense. And that's huge. A lot of that is to finally meet NATO requirements. But there's also money in there to shore up Canada's defense of the North. And Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne says that's going to be good for northern communities.
This is going to be a way for us to build the infrastructure in the North that northern communities will welcome. Because Canada, when you look at that, we have a deficit of infrastructure in a number of places, in the North in particular.
Inuit Tapiri Tkaratami head Natan Obed is praising the budget's promises of investments in the Arctic. But he's troubled. He's troubled that northern Indigenous people aren't reflected in how that will look.
We want to be partners with the Government of Canada and all Canadians in upholding Arctic sovereignty, in defending our borders, in working to do all that we can in this difficult time to make this country prosperous. All we're asking on the other side is for a very clear consideration.
Métis National Council President Victoria Pruden says there is a fear that the cutbacks will hit vulnerable people. But she also says the budget outlines lots of economic opportunities that could benefit Métis people.
We understand what the objective is here, and at the same time, we need to make sure that we're preserving both our economic contribution to Canada and those programs and services that are essential for youth and our most vulnerable people. We cannot lose momentum in terms of our commitment to advocate for Métis governments.
Métis National Council President Victoria Pruden. The leadership of Peter Ballantyne Cree Nation is in court, accusing the provincial government of failing to include them in an environmental assessment decision for a uranium project located within the nation's traditional territory. They've now filed a judicial review in Saskatchewan's Court of King's Bench, challenging the decision. Chief Peter Beattie says the ScotMo government failed to meaningfully consult or accommodate the nation as required under the Constitution. Chief Beattie says he and his people met with the province, provided information, and asked to be at the table. Says Beattie, instead, our concerns were sidelined. Beattie says consultation is not paperwork, it's a constitutional duty. He argues Saskatchewan's actions fell far short of that duty. The project site lies roughly 35 kilometers northeast of Key Lake in Treaty 10 territory. If it goes ahead, the Peter Ballantyne Cree Nation says it would become the largest uranium operation in the Athabasca Basin. Beattie says they're not totally against the mine, but not being consulted with while it's in their traditional territory, then it becomes a problem. Manitoba Premier Wab Kanew says his government is moving forward with the search of a Winnipeg landfill for the remains of a victim of a convicted serial killer. This comes after the government completed a preliminary test search at the city-run Brady Road landfill for the remains of Ashley Shingoose. The mother was one of four First Nations women killed by the serial killer in 2022. Kanew says the province has made progress on its efforts to locate her. The remains of two others of the serial killer's victims, Morgan Harris and Mercedes Myron, were found during a search of another landfill. Shingoose actually was still unidentified when the killer went to trial for the other murders. She was then only known as Buffalo Woman. When they did identify Ashley Shingoose, Premier Kanew made the announcement, and at that announcement was Ashley's father, Albert Shingoose, who spent years traveling from St. Teresa Point to the streets of Winnipeg, 600 kilometers away, to search for his daughter. Albert was on the phone from St. Teresa Point for this announcement, and he asked the Premier to sing a song for his girl, Ashley.
I just wanted to say thank you for everything, and which is from the Wapakoonoo. I want him to sing one song before I leave to the airport. Please, thank you.
Premier Kanew sang a song from South Dakota that belongs to Kwana.
Hey, Ashley Way, yeah, yeah, eh, yeah. Ashley Way, hi, yeah, oh, hey, oh, hey, 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 oh.
The search for the remains of Ashley Shingoose is set to start next month at the Brady Road Landfill in Winnipeg. The University of Saskatchewan is bestowing its highest honor on former Assembly of First Nations Chief Perry Bellegarde. President and Vice Chancellor Peter Stoychev says Bellegarde from the Black Bear First Nation will receive an honorary degree for his lifelong commitment to Indigenous rights. Bellegarde also served terms as a Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations Chief, but as National Chief, he was able to push Canada towards its first legislation recognizing and protecting Indigenous languages. He also got Canada to commit to implement the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Bellegarde will be honored during convocation this Wednesday. The Governor General's Literary Award for Fiction has gone to an Anishinaabe journalist for his novel about a high school hockey team in Winnipeg. Kyle Edwards' debut novel, Small Ceremonies, is a coming-of-age story about Indigenous brothers finding their way in the world. He's among the seven winners announced this week by the Canada Council for the Arts. They each get $25,000. Coming up, meet Ross Alexson, an Indigenous veteran with the Canadian Airborne Regiment. I'm David Curtin. This is Meeting Ground.